2 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin reading there in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior in Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Notice how many times he mentions the word knowledge. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. It's about his divine power, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For an entrance shall be ministered unto us abundantly into the heavenly kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter, in this letter, this epistle, he's writing it, probably he knows he has very little time upon this earth. He deals a lot with the knowledge of Christ and what that knowledge produces in the heart and life of a believer, God's children. It's not just empty knowledge. It's not just empty facts. There in verse 1, Peter speaks of those who have obtained like precious faith. He's writing to believers. You think we've obtained it. It's precious faith. It's not obtained by human merit. It doesn't reside in man's human heart naturally. Faith doesn't. It can't be worked up. And all men do not have faith. He said, who have obtained. You think about it, like precious faith. What does it mean, like precious faith? It means that the same faith is given to every one of God's people. Now, it may be given in different degrees, but it's saving faith. It's the faith of God's elect. It's the faith that he gives. It's the faith that trusts in Christ. You know, it's not the strength of the faith or the weakness of the faith that saves. It's Christ that saves. But we all have like precious faith. And I can say this, if you have faith, it's very precious. Precious. This faith is obtained, it is only obtained one way, through the righteousness of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. This letter begins and ends with knowledge. Notice there, verse 2, it talks about knowledge, verse 3, verse 5, and then verse 8. And here's the last verse. Most everyone can probably quote this verse in 2 Peter 3, verse 18. When he wraps it up, he said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is grace. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. There in verse 2, Peter speaks of the verse. He speaks in this verse about grace and peace be multiplied. God's grace and peace, it knows no degrees. Yet the ministration of grace and peace to us, it does increase. Sometimes it seems like we're so weak. But he says multiplied grace and peace. There is a growth in grace, as I've already read. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of Christ, we do grow in our knowledge of Christ as he teaches us, as he instructs us. We discover more, the more we know, we discover more of His grace and His mercy toward sinners. And we never get tired of, like you prayed, when we come, Lord, teach us. Make Yourself known. Give us this knowledge. This knowledge, it's knowledge of a person. Knowledge of a person. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There will be an increase in spiritual peace in believing, and a fullness of peace in trials and afflictions. You imagine being Gideon. We would have been okay with 30,000 men. I think it was 30,000. And then he got down and said, we got 10,000. We're going from 30 to 10, and they've got over 100 and some thousand. God said, you got too many. And God's going to teach us. He gave him some knowledge. He taught him something. The battle's not yours, the battle's His. And what was so amazing, like Jeff said, he remembered that Gideon was afraid. He said, you just go down there. And these two men's going to be sitting there talking, two buddies talking. He said, I had a dream the night. Dream like a barley cake rolled down into the tent and just knocked it over. That guy said, I don't know what that is. I know what that means. He was an interpreter of dreams. He said, that's talking about Gideon. Really? And God's going to deliver the Midianites into his hand. And Gideon going, well, that's some knowledge. God gave it. God allowed a man to have a dream just to instruct his son, Gideon. And God gives us that knowledge. Why did God do that? He loved them and gave himself for them. In the midst of trials and tribulations and afflictions. Then verse 3, he speaks of divine power. This power has been given unto us, all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's the power of Christ. The gospel's the power of God unto salvation. Without divine power, no one will ever believe. We talk a lot about in verse 4, we're talking about divine nature. That it all comes through God's divine power. The precious faith is a result of God's divine power. He must give you the faith to the believer. You'll never believe. Divine power, which hath given unto us. His power gave us all these things that pertain to life and godliness. Divine power has called us to life, to a life of glory and virtue. Then verse 4, he's given unto us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Just think, what has he given unto us? Exceeding great and precious promises. We have precious faith, and that faith rests upon God's precious promises. God told Gideon, I'm going to deliver the Midianites into your hand. And God gave him that promise, and God delivered it. And he stood upon it. Faith must have something to rest upon. We rest upon the promises of God because all the promises of God are in Christ, and they are yea and amen. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these precious promises, precious promises, they're to believers. We rest upon them. You might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Only divine power can give a divine nature. The one that is a partaker of this divine nature has escaped the corruption of the world through lust. What has a believer been given? Galatians 5:16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's the only way. What Christ has given, he subdued. He gives us the ability, the divine nature, to subdue the lust that causes us to gravitate to Christ. glory and virtue, a divine nature, the nature. Birds fly and fish swim. Why? That's their nature. When God gives a person, he gives them a new nature. A new nature. We know that divine nature doesn't mean we're not gods. We don't have deity. But he gave us a new nature. And that new nature is to look to Christ, to rest in Christ, and to believe in Christ. All believers do what? They believe. They trust him. It says there, they are partakers. What does the word partakers mean? It means to have in common with or to have fellowship with. What do we have in common with God? We're not divine. No, we're not. We are spiritual. We have been, we have been given. We are partakers of the divine. We've been given life. Life. You were dead. You were dead. And one day you just found yourself believing. It's not moving a muscle. You just believe. And now you believe because it is your nature to believe. That new nature cannot sin. It cannot sin. It believes. That's why you believe. You have a new nature. You were born with a wicked, defiled nature. Now, what's the difference? How did you escape the world? The world goes after the lust of the world. Not you. I know we still sin. I understand that. We've been given a new nature. God is spirit, and our fellowship is with him. And that which we have in common with him is the spiritual life that he has given unto us in regeneration through the knowledge of Christ and through the gospel. We have fellowship with him. Someone said, what's fellowship? Two fellows in a ship. We have something in common. I mean, he's given us, we don't even know what to pray for as we should, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings which can't even be uttered. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We know there's that struggle between the old man and the new man, but the new man rules. He reigns. It's a divine nature. The spiritual life, that fellowship, truly our fellowship is with him and with God the Father, is described here as being partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature enables us to escape the world through lust. That's the only way we can. The spiritual life uses the world, views the world, and the approaches of the world from something differently. We see it differently than we used to. We used to see it, no, this is it. This is what we live for. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love of the Father is not in him. Now it brings us to verse 5 and 7, what I'm primarily want to look at. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amazing how God, when God, what basically, simply that's saying, when God saves somebody, he saves them. He saves them. He delivers them. And besides all this, and for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Everything that we see here, these seven things that he mentions here, is the result of us being partakers of the divine nature. Because of God's free grace toward us and his precious promises. The issue here is not salvation, but a reminder of the obligations we have toward one another. We do have obligations to each other. As we look at these seven things, now remember, They are not accomplished by looking to the things, but they are realized as we look to Christ, who's the object of our faith. Faith without works is dead. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He said, add to faith. It's not just faith and faith alone. Faith works. Faith does. It's precious faith, and it comes by divine nature. All these things are the fruit of grace, not the cause of grace. This is one of those passages, and it's amazing how God puts things. Just so goats will hang themselves from it. They make works out of this, and they think this is their salvation, and they think that's grace. Then it's not grace. You know, sir, he said, give all diligence. You know what it is to be diligent. It means to make haste. It's like when the Lord revealed to Mary that she was going to have a child, she made haste to go talk to Elizabeth. She was given all diligence. She said, I've got to go talk to her, because he told her that she was expecting also. Someone said, when haste degenerates into hurry and becomes agitation, it is weakness and not strength. It turns our superficial work, which usually has to be, when we get in a hurry is not making haste. I know what it is to get in a hurry. And then what I've done, I've just made a mess out of it. I mean, Sandy was working on something the other day, and I wasn't watching what I was doing. I was running some screws through. When I got done and turned it up, I'd run a screw through every one of them, through the other side. You know why? I got in a hurry. I need to be diligent, and I was diligent, but it crossed over into a hurry. And when we get in a hurry, we make a mess. Can't you just see Gideon said, we're going to rush on in there. God said, you have too many. He gave all diligence. He done what the Lord told him, and he had to trust him. He that believeth shall not make haste. We do give diligence, but we believe the Lord. We trust him. He said, give all diligence. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Let me give you some verses. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. Listen to this from Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of the heart are the issues of life. Give all diligence. He says over in chapter 3, verse 4 of this book, wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, what things? Our Lord coming back to take us home. Be diligent that you may found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. He's telling us how to live in this world. Seeing that we look for such things, be diligent. It's high time for us to wake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It is hard to believe the day is the first day of August, isn't it? It's high time. Diligent. Not slothful, diligent. That's what he's talking to. He's talking to believers. Give all diligence. Add to your faith. Faith, the gift of God. This is the root of everything else. Faith is the foundation. Without faith, you have nothing. Describe faith. I can't. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If God ever gives it to you, you'll know what it is. That's the only way I know to explain it. You'll believe. What is to believe? When he gives you faith, you'll believe. You'll trust him. You'll cling to him. Faith. And what a precious gift it is. Faith comes by hearing. It's like you can hear the gospel for years, and then all of a sudden you hear and say, I can't explain it, but I believe. It's such a mystery, and it's so precious. You can talk to someone till you're blue in the face, and they just go, what are you talking about? They don't have no knowledge of him. But he says, add to faith virtue. Faith is the foundation of all good works. However, faith does not, now listen to me, precious faith, God-given faith, does not and cannot stand alone. It cannot and it does not stand alone. Not if it's real faith. Listen what James said. James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, it's just a dead faith. Being alone, it's just alone. Yea, a man can say, well, that you got faith and I got works. He said, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You know why I know Gideon believed? He trusted him. He did what the Lord told him. He believed him. Well, if he hadn't have believed him, he said, I ain't doing that. 300 men against all those men? Now, come on. Only faith would believe that. Only faith would trust him. Well, how are we going to win the battle? You just trust him. Faith. Show me thy faith without the... I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God? Do you believe there's one God? You do well. The devils believe and tremble. The devils believe that. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It's not alive. It's not precious faith. Faith is alive. Faith is a principle. Praise it looks to a person. Now, virtue, add to your faith virtue. This is not just morality, but it's a Christian virtue. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Add to your faith virtue. What he's saying is, as believers, we should seek the things that are pleasing to our Lord. That's virtue. We should seek things that have reference to how it will affect our relationship with our Lord. Add to your faith. What's he saying? Don't let things come between you and him. Look to him. You know what honor, if you're a believer, your desire is to honor him. And you know how you honor him? Believe in him. Many times he tells us, and you know, we may not admit it, but in our heart we say, I just don't know if he's going to take care of this or not. In faith, the evidence of faith, they're going to be virtue. Well, we believe him. We believe him. How will this affect my relationship with him? That's my fellowship with him. Can we break fellowship? Oh, yeah. Did David? Yep. Did Achan? Yes. Many others you can pick out. Fellowship. I don't want that fellowship broken. And then he says, add to faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. For if these things, verse 8, be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is this knowledge? This is knowledge of the will of God that we may perform, do God's will. It goes right back to Gideon. What was God's will? God's will was for Israel to defeat the Midianites. That was his will. Well, how's Gideon the knowledge? God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you down there, and I'm going to let you hear these two guys talking. You just think about that. The most insignificant thing, but he gave them, this is God's will. How's God going to accomplish what he's purposed to do? I want to know his will. And I want the grace to do his will. I remember when, maybe this would be speaking personal, when me and Sandy, before we came up here, you know, we came several times over the couple of years you were without a pastor. And I remember it was in the December of 2012. We didn't come till October of 2013.
We were getting ready to leave the motel room, and we were started down the interstate. Never said a word to her, and never, shared what was on my mind. I didn't know what was on her mind. And I said, "Do you ever think about that church up there in West Virginia?" She said, "Yeah, I think we'll be there one day." And I go, you just say, "Well, that's just us thinking that. We don't know." Well, what was God's will? And things begin to happen. I'm going to talk to other men. And one of the only ones, it just so happened that Don Fortner always come to preach for us 2 days, Thursday and a Friday, in August. And it was just so happened that you'd put Danny up to ask me if I'd be your pastor the last of July. So here comes Don. I know, said, "Oh, I'm going to see him in a couple weeks. I'm going to talk to him. I need some knowledge. I'm going to talk to a man who has more knowledge than I do about God's will." And he's the only one that I knew of a preacher, a grace preacher, who had ever been at a church and left that church and went to another one because he was at Lookout, West Virginia. And I said, "Don, how did you know you were supposed to leave?" He had knowledge of it. He had been through it. I didn't know any other preacher that had. And it just so happened. We go out to eat and I asked him. He said, "I trust." He said, "We'll look at circumstances, providence." And then he said, "You just trust him." I wanted some more knowledge, really. You see the picture. I needed some knowledge. But then, and Sandy, remember we was working one day, and she said, "You really think the Lord wants us to go to West Virginia?" And when I really got thinking about it, I was really almost terrified. You live in the same place for 50 years. Is this his will? You may not take it serious, but that was serious to me. I don't want to miss his will. I want to know his will. This is what he says in Romans chapter 12. "I beseech you there," Romans 12 verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world. The world wants to conform you to this world. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." The renewing of what? Your mind. There's the knowledge. Peter said, "I stir you up by way of remembrance." I'm not telling you anything new this morning that you hadn't heard 1,000 times. I stir you up by way of remembrance. "By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You remember when God told Jeremiah, he said, "You go down to the potter's house and I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going to give you some knowledge, Jeremiah." He said, "You go down and you see that man working with that clay on that potter's wheel. There's two wheels. There's one he puts the clay on. Then there's one underneath it that he spins with his foot. That bottom wheel and that top wheel spin perfectly together. The bottom one spins and the top one spins. And the more faster he spins it, the faster the top one goes. That's God's will. And he puts that clay right in the center of that top wheel. He puts it right in the center of God's will. And then he fashions it. And that's how God fashions you. "That you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What is God's word? It goes on. You'll know what God's will is? Read his word. "Does God save sinners through the preaching of the gospel?" Yep. "Is it God's will for us to gather together and worship?" Yep. You see what I'm saying? And it's, God, give us this knowledge. You go, what am I supposed to do? Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This world wants to mess your thinking up and say, "No, you don't need to do that." I've heard people say, "Well, how did you wind up in West Virginia? Did you send out a resume?" Because that's how they think their knowledge is about how do you know God's will? And we all deal with those things, whether it's changing jobs or whatever it is. What am I to do? I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm to put God first. He's to be first. That's his will. I'm supposed to honor him in everything. And the more we know
of His Word, the more we know what God requires and what He wants.
Lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now listen. Some people, you know, they can convince themselves maybe that's what the Lord's will is. Some people have a zeal for God. Oh, I want to serve God. I want to do God's will. But it's not according to knowledge. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. They got a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. You know why? They're going about to establish their own righteousness. You know what God's will is? For you to bow to Christ. That's His will. What's His will? It's for you to look to Christ. Turn your back upon everything else. That's God's will. That's His will. Add to virtue knowledge. And add to knowledge temperance. I thought about Philippians 4:5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Temperance. What is temperance? What is moderation? This can mean avoid excess in eating, drinking, materialism, entertainment, and anything that is engaged to the excess that would hinder our spiritual growth and fellowship. Temperance. Our big problem is moderation. You know, there's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol. There's nothing wrong with it. But there is moderation. We all know, but what happens if you drink too much? And it's not just that in excess, it's other things. Temperance can even involve guarding our tongue. And I can tell you this, you can't do that on your own because the tongue can no man tame. To knowledge, temperance. Lord, give me temperance. Give me patience. And into patience, to temperance, patience. Well, how do we get patience? Tribulations. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in the grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulations works patience. James says, knowing this, that trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We all want patience, but we don't want the tribulations, do we? And He sends them. Going back to Gideon, he sends things. What are you going to do? Whenever you don't understand what's going to happen. Patience. Patience. Days that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And to patience, godliness. This is not God-likeness because we're not God, like God. It is the fear of the Lord. It has to do with both inward and outward worship. It is an attitude of thanksgiving, submission, praise, and hearing God's word. Submission. And then to godliness, brotherly kindness. Without godliness or worship, our religious profession will be nothing but a vain show. It's just empty words. Love and brotherly kindness, now listen to me, is an evidence of regeneration. Our Lord said, but by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Not because you go out and you carry a Bible in your hand. Not that you go out and stand at the corner of the street passing out tracts everywhere you go. That ain't, you know, we should do those things. We should study God's word. But how is it that we know? How will all men know? if you have love one for another.
You know why we love one another? Because if we're believers, we have all precious faith. We all have a divine nature. That's why. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then lastly, and a brotherly kindness, charity. Brotherly kindness, I think, has to do with us and believers. Charity has to do with us loving our enemies. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity is not easily provoked. How do you, God enable you to love your enemies? Well, he puts you through trials and he teaches you patience. He says there in verse 8, let's read verses 8 through 11. Those things that we just mentioned, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All these qualities, they are increasing. They will keep us from being empty and unfruitful in our spiritual life. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking there where, Lord, he came to that fig tree. Now, he's not looking for leaves. He was looking for figs. And he cursed that tree. A fig tree has fruit on it because it's a fig tree. But this fig tree, all it had was leaves. All it had was a profession. And he cursed it. He that is without these graces, now listen, and growth is short-sighted, seeing only what is near him and what concerns him, and he's ignoring what God has done for him, or what he professes that God has done for him. As he said, give all diligence to add to your faith. Then he says, now give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. You know who he calls? He calls them with an effectual call. And they come. And they find out that he chose them before the world was made. And he gives them faith to believe, and he gives them like precious faith, and he gives them a divine nature. And he puts you in situations where he makes you diligent to serve. I want to honor him. I want to do his will. I want to trust him and rest in him. I hope that's a help.